reading Hebrews chapter 12 from verses 1 to 4. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I want us to look at perseverance today. We see in verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, with endurance, with perseverance, the race that is set before us. Have you ever seen the Christian life as a race? This is a very plain picture of it. See, often we think of becoming a Christian as something that we do many years ago. And I can remember the day that I became a Christian on Valentine's Day, 1984, 14th of February, 1984. But that was all, what had happened at that point was that the starting tape had dropped. The starting pistol had fired, and I was off on a new course in my life. That is what happens with every Christian. He hasn't finished, she hasn't finished, until we get to the finishing tape. Where is that finishing tape? That finishing tape is at the end of our lives. When we leave this body, when we have our final salute to this world, and we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us will meet him in the air, in our bodies, in our new bodies. Others will go and sleep with Jesus before he comes to raise up our bodies. But friends, whichever it is, whether we meet him still alive in this body and are transformed, or whether we die and our souls go to be with Jesus and then he comes back and raises up our body, whichever it is, that is the finishing tape. And so the Christian life is about reaching the end. And we might think, oh, it's an awfully long way. How am I going to manage it? And there may be times in that race where you feel like giving up. And these verses are there to encourage us. And the first point that we see is we see Paul, or the writer to the Hebrews, speaking about the spectators. In verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. You see, when the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they had a cloud, a pillar of cloud by day, and a pillar of fire by night. So they were surrounded by this cloud. This cloud accompanied them. It must have been a great encouragement to have that cloud, a reassurance that every day as they went through the wilderness, that they weren't on their own, that there was a cloud that was leading them. And when you're on a marathon, I don't know if any of you have run a marathon. I've run once, Once bitten, twice shy, they say, I won't run another one, but I did it in a long time ago now in Berlin. It was jolly tough. But you know what's wonderful about a marathon is when you've got people cheering you on, especially if you've got family members who are there egging you on, encouraging you when you're flagging. And this is a picture that is drawn for us here. Wherefore, seeing also, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. See, these witnesses aren't a cloud as it was in the desert, but I think he's borrowing from that analogy, and he's saying, look, we've just read about these tremendous men of faith. We heard about one of them yesterday. We heard about Samson. And extraordinary things that Samson did. Have you ever met anybody who has confronted a lion and torn that lion limb from limb? Well, that's what Samson did. He was just one of a cloud of witnesses who showed God's strength in man's weakness. Friends, the Christian life is about seeing God's strength in our weakness. It was a wonderful sermon as we heard that verse that's on the tin of a Tate and Lyle tin of golden syrup. Out of the eater came forth meat. Out of the strong came forth sweetness. And you see, the race of faith is believing that despite all the adversity against us, God is using everything that happens for us for our good. And that is the experience of saints. They've had terrible things happen to them. And yet, they have seen God's hand in those circumstances. It might seem hopeless. I don't know if you remember how Elijah, after he had slain those 800 prophets of Baal, he then prayed for rain. And he saw a cloud like a man's hand. And he knew that that cloud would bring rain. Sometimes it's the smallest sign of God's providence to us. And we know that that will bring blessing to us. But we have to hold on to that. One token of God's blessing in our lives sometimes. It all seems so hopeless at times, doesn't it? We can't understand why so many things are against us. But the experience of these saints is that they've overcome in the most remarkable ways. In fact, if we look at the end of Hebrews 11, we'll see a summary of what some of these people went through. Verse 32, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, and in dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. It's as if these onlookers who had run their race, but they hadn't actually seen the prize that is in the hands of every Christian. They weren't where we are. So they're cheering us on from the background. Have you ever felt that what you're going through is far harder than anything anyone else has gone through? Well, look at the experience of these Old Testament saints and these New Testament saints, because we can look back on all of them. And have they suffered more than you or I? Have they had more of a disadvantage or less of a disadvantage than you and I? Friends, I think you'll find that whatever we are going through, somebody else has gone through a much harder trial and has proved God as worthy. They proved God as faithful. God has brought them through that trial. Is there something that you and I think is far too difficult? Is there a wall too high to climb? Is there a chasm too wide to bridge? Is there a mountain too high to climb? Well, let's look and see what the promises of God are. Because the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. See, Paul was able to say, when I am weak, then am I strong. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he speaks of this thorn in the flesh that he was given. We don't know what it was. You imagine a thorn. Have you ever had a thorn? I'm sure we've all had thorns in our hands, and they're really painful, aren't they? And it's particularly unpleasant when you can't find the thorn, or you can feel it. Perhaps you can see it, but you can't get it out. Such a small thing, and yet it can cause so much discomfort and pain. And we know that this thorn in Paul's flesh was, we don't know what it was. Some suggest it was blindness. Who knows what it was? And he doesn't tell us. And I don't think he tells us for a very good reason. So that we're not thinking, well, I haven't been blind. My affliction's much worse. No, what he's trying to say is, what I had made me depend on God. I asked him 3 times to remove it, but he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And that's the lesson that he wants us to learn today, that his power is made perfect in weakness. And there Paul is. He's there in the stands, egging us on, because he's one of those clouds of witnesses for us now, isn't he? Have you got a thorn in your flesh? Something that's troubling your body or your mind that seems so much larger than anything anybody else has to cope with, and certainly larger than anything you've had to cope with? And are you thinking, why me? Well, look at the cloud of witnesses who've gone before us. They've had to endure far worse afflictions. That doesn't mean to say, well, just shut up and get on with it. No, but what it means is that we can turn to the source of their comfort, and we can enjoy that comfort for us. That's the purpose of this cloud of witnesses, these cheerleaders, the spectators in the crowd, saying, go on, you can do it. In his strength. So the cloud of witnesses, the spectators, cheering us on. That's the first thing we see. But then, every marathon runner is lightly dressed. They have the best shoes that they can. They wear the loosest clothing. They don't want any baggage, so they leave their rucksack behind. And here the picture is painted for us. Let us lay aside every weight. That's that weight. So often it's worry, isn't it? That's a big weight in our lives. How much time do you and I spend worrying through the day? Sometimes it's rather frightening, isn't it? Someone can be talking in front of you, but your mind's on something else you're worried about. What does the Bible say about worry? To cast your burden on the Lord. The Bible says, do not worry, for you can't add even, what's the word? Just let's go to Matthew 6. Sorry, I've forgotten the... the end of Matthew 6. Well, that's... Sorry, just let one moment, please. Yes. Therefore, take no thought, verse 31, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all, these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It was actually slightly further up. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 27. Who, by worrying, can add even any length, any height to your body? You can't do it. Worry actually produces nothing but destruction, does it? And yet we've all done it. We're probably all doing it now. You're probably worrying about something. I hope you're not. But you won't be the first person who's brought your worries to church and taken them out at the end of the service. How sad. It's like the marathon runner who gets to the front, gets to the beginning of a race with his rucksack on. And then he's told, before the starting pistol goes, take your rucksack off. But he doesn't hear because he's so worried about the weight of his rucksack, probably. And he keeps going. And he never takes it off. I wonder how many of us, I hope none of us, will leave this service with the same worry that they arrived with. Instead, we're to cast our anxieties upon him because he cares for us. To bring everything to God in prayer. What's your worry? Identify it and give it to the Lord. He will take care of it. So laying aside every weight. That's a big weight, isn't it? Blind Bartimaeus was an interesting character. He came to Jesus. Do you know what he did on the way? We'll see it in Mark chapter 10, verse 50. When he cried out, in verse 47, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Many told him to be quiet. Verse 48. Verse 49, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. What does he do? Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Well, that was his cloak. But there's nothing wrong with having a cloak. Indeed, we read later on in the epistles, Paul specifically asking Luke to bring him a cloak, that he'd be warm in winter. Nothing wrong with a cloak. The only problem with a cloak is you can't run a race wearing a cloak. It's like trying to run a marathon wearing an overcoat. You'll be sweating before you start it. Certainly, before you've finished, you'll probably expire. You see, there are legitimate things in life that we have to cast off for the Lord Jesus' sake. I wonder if any of you have got those, any of us have got those. Are there legitimate concerns, are there legitimate things in our lives that are slowing us down in our Christian lives? Maybe it's things that we own. Maybe we own too many things. Too many properties? Maybe it's not things that we own that are the problem. But there can be, can't there? If for every extra house we own, it's double the trouble, isn't it? Having to keep it all up. So most of us, if we're very fortunate, have one house. But there are other things, aren't there? It's perhaps a silly example. Perhaps you can think of an example of something that's entirely legitimate. No one's criticizing anyone for having it, but it's causing us trouble. It's slowing us down. What do we do? Well, we do what blind Bartimaeus did. We get rid of it. We cast it aside. I don't know what happened to that cloak, whether someone picked it up and gave it back to him afterwards. But maybe he didn't care, because he was more concerned with getting to the Lord Jesus than he was with his cloak. And are we more concerned about pleasing the Lord Jesus than we are about all our concerns, all our worldly worries? Because they can stop us getting to the prize. If you fall into the water, you don't want to fall into the water wearing boots and heavy clothing, because those clothes will take you to the bottom. Friends, we need to lay aside every weight. And one of the worst weights, I'm afraid, is mentioned here. And the sin which doth so easily beset us. Even as Christians, we can find sin slows us down. What are we to do with it? We're to lay it aside, because sin will stop us in our tracks. I wonder what sin it is that might beset us. See the besetting sins, sins that keep coming back. We're to put them aside, aren't we? It's rather liberating to think that that's what we can do with sin as new creations, because it's part of the old nature that has gone. And we're to take that off and put on Christ. That's what we're told in Colossians chapter 3. So we put off the old man. We put off lying and other sinful habits. And we put on Christ. You see, otherwise we're going to get our lives in a mess if we carry on sinning. Whatever that sin is, we'll never get to the end. We can cast it off. And we can look to the Lord Jesus for help. Not to sin next time. Where's our eyes? See, our eyes need to be on the Lord Jesus. See, having cast off that sin, we're to run with patience the race set before us, looking unto Jesus. See, running with patience, running with endurance. It's not a fast sprint. We get exhausted after we've run 100 yards. No, this is a lifetime journey to the end. And there are going to be times when we feel like giving up. We're going to be times when that mountain seems too high, but we just keep on going. We put one foot in front of the other. I don't know about you, I've done some long walks in my time. And when I'm getting tired, I just think, one more step, I'm one step closer to the end. And so it is with the Christian life, friends. There are going to be times of severe testing and trial, but just one foot in front of the other. And you are one step nearer the end of your journey. Well, friends, with every journey, I don't know where you've been in the last 24 hours, but I'm very grateful to Google, aren't you? Because you can put in Google where you want to go, and it'll get you there. It'll tell you what bus is now. It virtually tells you when the bus is going to run. I took one when I got back last night at Paddington. I didn't want to take the underground, so I just found out where the bus was, jumped on the bus, and got home very quickly. But I needed to put in the destination first. And friends, verse 2, I suppose, to use our analogy, I had to look at my mobile phone. I had to look at Google. It would have been hopeless if I hadn't. Look at verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the one we need to keep our eyes on, particularly when we're flagging, at all times. But when we're flagging, I remember being told at the beginning of my Christian life, for every look within, take 9 looks at him. It's so tempting, isn't it, to be looking inwards at my anxieties, at my failings, at my problems, and not looking outwards at the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is the one who strengthens us. He is described here as the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who designed it. He is the one who completed it for us. And we are to look to him for our strength, our inspiration for the journey. The athletes all have their heroes, don't they? So often those heroes turn out to be fallen heroes because they're discovered to have been on drugs when everyone thought they were just fast runners. The Lord Jesus was without sin, without imperfection. He ran a perfect race. And not only does he run a perfect race, but he strengthens us to help us to run a perfect race as well. Look what he had to endure. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross? What was that joy, do you think? It's the joy of having a bride. Here in Psalm, if you go very briefly to Psalm 19, you'll see a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Psalm 19, speaking about the Son, verse 4. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the Son, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. This is a bridegroom who is racing towards his bride. Friends, what a joy the Lord Jesus as the bridegroom of the church had. As he knew that as he went to the cross, it was to obtain his bride. He had the joy of knowing that anticipation, that every bridegroom who comes to church and is waiting for his bride to come. See, the Lord Jesus had that anticipation because that was to be his prize for going through the agony of the cross as he paid the price for the sins of mankind, that he might win a chosen people, that he who would become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Nobody will have to endure the conflict that he did. And we have it here in verse 4. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. The Lord Jesus did have to resist unto the shedding of blood, didn't he? For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. He had to shed his own blood on the tree for our sins to be forgiven. So friends, we've never resisted like that, have we? So let's draw courage. And we're not to despise the chastening of the Lord. Verse 5, And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. There is a rebuking, because we're his children. That's what these verses tell us. But they're there for our good. Going through hard testing, trials, are for our good. All things work together for good, for them that love God, and are called according to his purpose. Friends, I don't know what trial you and I are going through. I know what I'm going through. You don't. There's no need for you to know. But you know what you're going through. What trials? Friends, whatever trial it is, it's not as harsh a trial as the Lord Jesus went through. And so let's be encouraged. And let's look to the Lord Jesus. And let's run with perseverance, with patience, with courage, with endurance, that race that is marked out for us. Amen.